All right, everybody, welcome back to Tech Gumbo. I am Haggai Davis III, co-hosting with Haggai Davis II, and we would like to welcome you to our show. Tech Gumbo is a conversation about the past, present, future of all things technology that we like to keep topical, interesting, and digestible. We want to thank Cardinal Capital for helping sponsor our show. Cardinal Capital connects businesses to capital. It doesn't matter what business you are in, Cardinal Capital has the resources all across the United States that are willing to help fund organizations of all sizes, life cycles, categories, and locations. Cardinal Capital works with you to craft the best commercial finance package you need to achieve your business goals. Whether you're looking to refinance current debts to take advantage of the new government programs and favorable interest rates, or you're trying to finance new equipment, maybe you're trying to acquire another business or expand your existing one, Cardinal Capital has the resources to make it happen. Banks seek out Cardinal Capital to help them with the loans that they cannot do. The Cardinal Capital guys are easy to work with and fun to be around. Contact them today at 225-308-3700 or send them an email at info@cardinalcap.net. They'll be happy to help with you and all your commercial finance needs. All right, so normally, since this is the second segment, this would be when we take a listener question. And for those of you out there who haven't heard yet, we are now offering mugs. If you send us in a listener question and we use it on the show, we will send you a Tech Gumbo mug. So we are on Twitter at Tech Gumbo Show, or you can text us at 225-255-0431, and we will send you a Tech Gumbo mug for your question. We are super excited about that.
Absolutely, because number one, they're really good looking mugs. They're full 20-ounce size mugs, and I'm just so excited about them.
They've got our logo on both sides, and we cannot wait for you, the listeners, to have one in your home or in your office as soon as possible.
And if you want to know what they look like, go to our Twitter page. We're at Tech Gumbo Show. Go to the Facebook page at Tech Gumbo Show. The pictures are there, and so you can see what the mug looks like. And then, so send us a question. We want to get a mug to you. So that being said, let's introduce our guest today, Vineeth Iyengar from the Office of Broadband and Connectivity for the state of Louisiana. Vineeth, welcome to the show.
Well, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
So let's start off with how did this whole office come to be?
Yeah, you know, it's a really good question. And over the last couple of months, I've had the privilege and the honor to visit probably well over 20 parishes throughout the state, places I would have never have gone and imagined in my life I would go to. But there's a sense of beauty and simplicity in a lot of these parishes that's juxtaposed with a great need that they have, which is addressing broadband. Whenever I'm addressing groups of folks that include, typically in any meeting, your police chair, your parish president, healthcare folks, educators from the school board, farmers, small businesses, I often like to tell them that our efforts to addressing that broadband gap in Louisiana didn't just start from my office, right? It didn't just start over the last couple of months. In fact, it was actually, I think, August 29th of 2019 that Governor Edwards, through an executive order, actually created a broadband commission called the Broadband for Everyone in Louisiana Commission, well before the pandemic, with the goal of eliminating the digital divide by 2029. So if you were to trace back to that effort in the fall of 2019, you think about what happened in the last legislative session in 2020, where Representatives Desitel and Senator Mizell created legislation to then create our office that the governor signed. I then joined March 29th, just a couple of weeks before this fiscal session, and we were able to unanimously work on getting our first state broadband grant program called Gumbo. How appropriate.
I love
talking
that.
About Gumbo on Tech Gumbo. But we got that passed, and that's where we are today.
So what does Gumbo stand for? What is it trying to do? You know, help us understand what Gumbo is.
Yeah, and let me take a step back. Haggai, I think it's important to talk about the challenge in general in Louisiana, right? If you think about the challenges that exist in Louisiana, we're talking about broadband not just being an access infrastructure issue, but also being an affordability issue and also being a digital literacy issue. So I'm often messaging and telling folks that in the rural communities, that even if I make broadband both accessible and affordable, and if people still don't understand how to best leverage broadband for their benefit, then it's a moot point. Right? What's the relevancy then of broadband? And so that's how we need to frame the issue in Louisiana in terms of access, affordability, and literacy. Now, what GUMBO is designed to do, which is an acronym for Granting Unserved Municipalities Broadband Opportunities, is to address that first piece, which I mentioned, which is access. There are 450,000 or so households in the state of Louisiana that lack what the FCC defines, the Federal Communications Commission in DC, as high-speed broadband. And high-speed broadband is defined by 25 megabits per second download and 3 megabits per second upload. In a household of four, those speeds before the pandemic may have been adequate. I think what we realized during the pandemic was that if in a household of four, a mom is doing a telehealth visit, dad is working from home, one kid is watching a movie on Netflix, and then one person is doing online tutorials, that those speeds were often throttled and were not sufficient. And so, you know, our goal and job through our office is to use GUMBO funds, which is really federal funds, through the creation of our state broadband grant program to address that access issue. That's first and foremost. And then similarly, to address affordability and literacy at the same time.
When you're addressing everyone around the state, the different functions, like you spoke to the Rotary Club of Baton Rouge, which was really
right, which I enjoyed. Great. Yep.
And when what you're delivering a message on behalf of the governor, you know, on behalf of the commission that you're running, what are you trying to get people to understand?
If there was one thing I wanted folks to understand when it comes to our efforts in broadband, is that yes, there is a digital divide. And that digital divide throttles our ability to be competitive as a state. But, and here's the important message. For the first time in a long time, we are sort of masters of our own destiny. And really, we have an awesome opportunity to shape the future. And so as a result, it's not a question of if, will, when, but it's a question as we are. And the fact that we are going to solve this digital divide by 2029 is something I am very bullish that we will achieve, frankly, because we have for the first time significant financial resources coming from the federal government to help address the problem. Number two, there is alignment between the federal government, the state government, all these parishes, all these towns, all these villages that I'm talking to addressing this issue. So when we have such an issue such as broadband and digital divide that has complete alignment, it frankly makes our job frankly easier, and it allows us to really lean forward in ensuring that we eliminate that divide by 29.
I'm really excited to hear how optimistic you are. I wonder if you can talk about what you think the largest challenge will be, and then how will you guys go about solving that largest, most important challenge?
Yeah, and so I think the largest challenge is largely going to be the education/literacy. And partly because we have to articulate the value proposition on why broadband is important. There are significant chunks of our population in the state that even, and I mentioned it earlier, even if you made it accessible and affordable, they just feel that it's not something, for lack of a better term, and maybe pun is intended, that they don't feel connected to it. They just don't see the need to understand why they need to invest their hard-earned dollars on broadband. And if we're thinking about the state structurally, we're talking about areas where the median household income in East Carroll Parish is $21,000 a year. So convincing a family in Lake Providence and East Carroll Parish, right, that not only if broadband is important, but why they should spend $30, $40, $50 when their average household medium income is $21,000 is a difficult sell. And so we have to educate folks on a couple of things. We have to educate folks on what is broadband and what it isn't. But more importantly, why is it important? And why is it important to them as a familial unit, but why is it important to them in terms of the future of the next generation who want to maybe even live there and who want to be a remote worker in and around that area. So that's, I think, going to be one of the bigger challenges.
And certainly the second biggest challenge you've got has got to be the actual infrastructure, that last mile.
Yeah. And in fact, that is because historically, you know, it largely broadband is a private sector led initiative, right? And so there hasn't been that explosive return on an investment in investing in last mile connectivity and really to the household in areas that may have a subpopulation of less than 3,000 people or 2,000 people. There are 355 towns in Louisiana that have below 6,000 people. And so when we're talking about half the state's population are in very small towns, then, you know, as a company, the private sector is not necessarily incentivized to go into these small towns. Now, what Gumbo is expected to do and what these other future federal resources focused on broadband is expected to do is to reduce that capital expense for that company to invest in last mile connectivity, which then opens up thousands and thousands and thousands of new customers and subscribers. And so if what we can do is to help incentivize and reduce that capital expense for that company to invest in an East Carroll Parish or a Tensaw or in Ascension or St. James, then that's really the purpose and design of our efforts.
So is the idea, is it to run fiber as far as you can and then coax the rest of the way? Or whatever, because you're not trying to run fiber to the home, are you?
Well, so fiber to the home, Haggai, is really a function of money. If I had $1.5 billion, then I could probably guarantee it fiber to the home, which I don't, right? And so we have to understand what we think is the best and most feasible practical solution for taxpayers and for that community, frankly. And that could mean, in certain communities, it could mean that the path to least resistance is fiber to the home. It could mean in certain areas that it's fiber to what we consider anchor institutions in a community, anchor institutions being, for instance, a local bank, right? Town hall, police station, water towers, schools, et cetera. And then you do fixed wireless from those anchor points to provide last mile connectivity. In certain communities, it could be just a fixed wireless solution that's going to help provide broadband. I think what's important, though, and is critical is that we don't invest our $180 million, which is our state broadband grant money, in technologies that we would have to rip and replace in a couple of years. Because we're expected to get another, probably $800, $900 million from the infrastructure bill direct to Louisiana through our office to addressing some of these broadband challenges. So the last thing I want to do then is invest in an area, knowing that we're going to get money on the back end, then have to rip and replace, which means it's a waste of money, right? Taxpayer dollars, and then you have to reinvest. So some of the strategies that we're hearing from municipalities is, hey, let's focus on fiber to anchor institutions. Let's take care of that first, fixed wireless. And then similar to what the interstate system has done, whether I-20, I-49, or I-10, build the main trunk lines. And then as you get more financial resources, build the off-ramps. And so that's an approach and strategy that we expect to look at and review over the next couple of months.
I'm curious, is Louisiana a leader in this type of program, or are there other states that we can look at who have already maybe tackled some of these challenges and things we can learn from people who have already done this?
Well, that's a great question. It was my mistake in not mentioning this to your viewers in the very beginning. This is, you know, broadband and our efforts when it comes to Louisiana, we're not last. We actually have a leadership position. When it comes to gigabit infrastructure, according to U.S. News, we actually rank number 18. When you start to combine access, terrestrial speeds, and other indicators, we rank 33. When it comes to being one of, I think, 24, 25 states that have a purposeful office of broadband development. So we're actually punching above our weight. I think the fortunate thing is, and I've mentioned this to the governor during my one-on-one last Wednesday, is that we're really in a leadership position to really take advantage of these federal funds and the alignment that's been created by very motivated people on the ground to helping solve this issue. And so what I also mentioned to him and others is I don't want our office, frankly, to be just a functional grant-making body, which is critically important, which we need to do. We need to be a thought leader in the broadband space, which means where does that disruption occur between broadband and ag, right? Where does that disruption occur to create between broadband and advanced manufacturing to create advanced manufacturing products and tools? And so there are things that we can start to take a leadership position on between the convergence between broadband and retail, broadband and small business, broadband and healthcare, to addressing some of the issues that we have in Louisiana, which is, for instance, a healthcare shortage in a lot of parishes and a teaching shortage in a lot of parishes.
So part of what we do here on the show is we talk about all things technology. And one of the technologies we almost felt ourselves obligated to talk to week after week is Starlink.
Yeah.
And SpaceX and what they've been doing. How is that going to play into the overall solution with what all you're trying to accomplish?
Yeah. So in our office, we want to make sure that we're technology neutral and technology agnostic. At the end of the day, our job is to help find the best and fund the best solution in areas that currently lack 25x3 speeds. Our preference is higher speeds in 25x3, which is really 100-100, if not 100-100, 100 down, 100 up, 100 download, 20 up, and if not that, 25x3. So our really preference is fiber, if not fiber, fiber, fixed wireless, and so on and so forth. Now, with regards to satellite, the frustrations I hear, which are plenty from folks that work with, that have maybe Dish or Viasat or Hughes, is the fact that those satellite companies are operating at geosynchronous orbits. And so most of it is largely either stationary or higher altitudes. In the case of Starlink, and Amazon is also getting into this space, they're looking at low Earth orbit. And so they're closer to the surface of the Earth. Now, Elon Musk and what they're doing at SpaceX and Starlink is one of many options. My personal thought process around Starlink is I think they would be a really good option, or any of these other options, maybe satellites if they improve, in areas that are even most remote, right? So areas where maybe it doesn't necessarily make sense to provide fiber to anchor institutions and fixed wireless to a closely packed area within a couple of miles circumference. But there are areas in Louisiana where you have small, small towns, maybe 200, 300, 400 people, that may be 20, 30, 40, 50 miles away from the nearest anchor point. And so in those cases, you could see a high applicability of technologies like low Earth orbit and Starlink to provide service to those guys in hyper small towns to create micro networks in a lot of these locations.
So do you see yourself with the grant money, like offsetting the setup fee, then maybe portion of the monthly fees or things like that?
So the grant money is really focused on fixed wireless and wire and fixed wire and wireless as opposed to satellite. I think with satellite, I think we could package affordability programs to address some of the costs of paying down the set-top kits, whether Starlink or et cetera, or to address some of their affordability issues on a month-by-month basis. Now, what's really interesting is that the parishes, towns, and villages in Louisiana actually are getting a significant amount of America Rescue Plan money that President Biden signed in March, that money could be used for the following: broadband infrastructure, affordability, literacy, or even to hire consultants to do pre-development work leading to last-mile connectivity. So, for instance, in certain areas, you may get a parish president, or you may get a town that says, I want to use some of my America Rescue Plan money to pay for Starlink or some other satellite service for these specific households. And so that's an option that the parishes have to spend their money when it comes to affording Starlink services.
That makes sense that it's going to be a very local decision in that way, that it's going to be, made by the parish president and maybe even by your mayor of your township. And I assume you guys would work with them to provide them resources, help them make that best decision. But ultimately, it's going to be a decision that they make for themselves because they know what their challenges are. They know what their needs are and understand how to best pull all that together.
That's right. You're right. And look, and to your point, healthcare is just like healthcare is a hyper-local decision. So is broadband. And so what may work in a certain parish may not work in another.
Beneath, cannot thank you enough for spending some time here with us on Tech Gumbo. Want you to come back. I mean,
absolutely.
This is a conversation that can go on for the next 10 hours if we really wanted to. So we need to have you back on the show on a semi-regular basis. Keep us updated as what's happening.
Absolutely. Great to be on the show. Greatly appreciate everything that you guys are doing for our community. And look forward to getting on next time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Vineeth Iyengar. So we do want to thank General Informatics, because General Informatics is an information technology firm with a mission to make our clients even more successful through the best use of technology. From the beginning, we have maintained our commitment to meeting the growing needs of our clients through continuous innovation. With over 20 years of experience and a team of 60 plus engineers, programmers, and designers, GI has evolved to become the leading IT partner of businesses, schools, government agencies. Our managed services teams can run your digital infrastructure or support your team on an on-demand basis, letting you focus on your business strengths. This has become a proven formula, so proven that 98% of our clients continue to do business with us year after year. The true testament to GI's success, however, has been strategic support of our clients' growth. Today, GI has a record number of clients as the fastest growing companies in the Inc. 500-5000 list. Whether you need IT services, new technology, or have a question, visit us on the web at www.geninf.com.
And if you enjoyed our conversation with Vineeth today, we are here on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m. and the show reruns Sundays also at 4 p.m. If you missed any part of the show today, or you'd like to hear previous episodes, you can check us out as a podcast available on almost every podcast platform, including iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Google Music, and more. When you're there, be sure to subscribe so you get notified every time we post a new episode. If you like our show, you're having suggestions, let us know on Twitter and Facebook at Tech Gumbo Show, and we can text us a question for the mug at 225-255-0431. Thank you for listening to Tech Gumbo.